do you know that it's time to be put out? It's time to be put out. Because we're very comfortable where we're at. And we don't want to get put out. But the Spirit says it's time to be put out. And if you don't leave and walk out on your own, you're going to get put out. Amen? The scripture reading this morning is from John, the 12th chapter, verses 9-11. I'm going to set the scenario of this reading. The chapter before, Jesus had already went to the house of Mary and Martha and raised Lazarus from the dead. Many people heard about this miracle that Jesus had performed. And now we come to this chapter where the Jews were getting ready for the Passover. And as they were getting ready for the Passover, you know, word had spread about what Jesus has done. Amen. Now already thousands of people were getting ready to come to the Passover feast. But maybe even more came because of Jesus was going to be there. The scripture read, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. In seeking Jesus Christ, there is sincerity and there is hypocrisy. A person that is half sincere has several traits. A person that is half sincere. Some of their traits are to be seen, to see, and to participate in a social event. These are clearly seen in the crowd thronging the dinner which Jesus had attended. You see, the crowd came to see Jesus because he was the central figure. He was also the person being proclaimed by some to be the Messiah and being talked about by all. Everyone was wondering and questioning and had some desire to see him and find out for themselves. At least they wanted to find out what was going on and causing so much conversation across the country. Have you ever seen a crowd? And the crowd is up, and you don't know exactly what's going on, but you walk over to find out what's going on, what everybody wants to see. Amen? Sometimes you witness something good, and sometimes you witness something bad. Amen? I know that these people came to see something good, and other people came to see something bad. Amen? The crowd also came to see the spectacular. That is to see Lazarus, the man who rumored to have been raised from the dead. They were anxious to see the one who had experienced such a phenomenal event and to see if a resurrection man was different in any way. They came to see the spectacular. This is not the first time Jesus performed a miracle, and people came to see the spectacular. As a matter of fact, during his trial, Herod asked him to perform some tricks for him. Amen. In your own walk with Christ, people are going to ask you to like perform some tricks for them. Especially when you get in a situation. Amen. We have to realize that we don't perform tricks for anybody. If you're here to see the spectacular, then you're in the wrong place. We serve an awesome God, a mighty God, and he's not spectacular for just miracles. He's spectacular all the time. The gift of life, getting up, breathing every morning is spectacular. All the time. If you don't believe me, ask somebody that's dead. They wanted to see if this man was any different than he was before. So when Jesus does perform a miracle, people want to see if you are any different than you were before. The crowd also came for a social occasion because it was a festive atmosphere. And whenever Jesus is somewhere, there's a lot of action going on. And things are happening. Amen. I believe Jesus is here this morning. I believe there's going to be a lot of action this morning. I believe that things are going to happen today for somebody. Amen. But in the scripture, it was there where everybody was gathering. Amen. We have to keep in mind that there was thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews that had came here for the Passover. And when thousands of people come around, it's almost like a convention. Amen. Those who was at the woman's retreat, there was hundreds of you there. It was almost like a convention. Amen. There was a joyous atmosphere there. Anytime you have an atmosphere like that, the enemy always wants to come in. Always. Not sometimes, but he always likes to come in and cause a disturbance. Many times he used those half-sincere seekers to add and make carnality to the atmosphere that's going on. And it's regardless of the event. In church here, half-sincere people will cause carnality to come in. It doesn't make a difference when we have a powerful service. Before we even walk out the door, something could be happening. Carnality comes in. Many of us sit in the presence of the Lord and sit in the presence in his church, in his sanctuary, only half sincere. Many people come to church because it's just the thing to do, the place to be, the place where everybody's at. Some come just to see the spectacular. I want to go to that church because I know they're going to be shouting in there. I want to go to that church because I know they're going to be singing in there. I want to go to that church. I want to see the hats they got on this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Do I know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. Jesus says in Luke 12 and 56, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and even while even of yourselves judge what ye not is right. Jesus is saying, you know, I've given you some gifts. You can judge things that are going to go on in the sky because somebody said it's going to rain. You can judge that. You can judge when it's going to snow. You can judge the things that are going on the earth. But how come you can't judge the spiritual things that are going on in the earth? How can you not discern this time? Paul says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, because the Jews didn't want to believe in Christ, and unto the Greeks foolishness, because all of this is foolishness to the Greeks. Amen? But when we get to the next scripture, it indicates, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I'm going to talk about Lazarus for a minute, but then I'm going to talk about you. The chief priests, mostly Sadducees, and the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. Lazarus was a living example of life after death, and having him around was an embarrassment to their theological system. They thought that Lazarus and Jesus were collaborating to deceive the people, because the miracle had a tremendous impact. For them, there was only one solution to get rid of this embarrassing situation: to put him to death. Lazarus didn't know nothing about this. He was raised from the dead. He was blessed beyond blessings. Christ raised him from the dead. There are times in your life that God will bless you, and the enemy will use people to kill and steal your joy. And if you don't watch out, you'll fall into a trap. They don't understand why. Sometimes you don't even understand the blessings that you have. I'm going to go to this side. I didn't get the response I wanted. I'm going to come back. Sometimes you don't understand the blessings that you have. Amen. Sometimes you don't understand the blessings that you have. But the enemy recognizes it, and he sends his people to kill, steal, and destroy your blessings. So here's Lazarus, happy. Jesus, his friend, came, raised him from the dead. He's going over into the Passover, and they're planning to kill him. It was nothing that he did. Amen. It's nothing that you do. You don't offend anybody. You didn't do anything to anybody. You didn't talk about nobody. You didn't kick nobody. You don't owe people money. But the Lord blessed you, and you're happy, go lucky, because you got your house, because you got your car, because the Lord blessed you in many, many ways. Got that big job for you. Come on, somebody. Got that big raise for you. Amen. And the enemy is going to be after you. Hallelujah. What purpose besides the obvious that raising Lazarus achieved? The scripture says it converted many. That's in John 11:45, of the people who witnessed it. It proved Jesus' power over life and death. It provoked the Sanhedrin to set up a trap to seize him. So who provoked the Sanhedrin? Who set up the trap to seize him, to seize Jesus, to put him to death? Jesus. Don't go thinking that the enemy is so smart that he was going to trap Jesus. Don't think that he has power enough over the Almighty to fool him in any circumstance. Amen? Lazarus could be fooled. Lazarus could be set up, but Jesus couldn't. Amen? Jesus was aware that raising Lazarus would provoke them. Amen? That's why he did it right before the Passover. He didn't do it any other time, but right before he knew that he would see thousands of people, that he would have thousands of people coming to want to see him, to want to see the man that raised somebody up from the dead. What madness is this to take up arms against heaven itself? Because these people were taking up arms against heaven. They wanted to seek to kill a man only because God has made him alive. We are dead to sin and we come alive in Christ. And as we become alive in Christ, different things start happening to us. Blessings start coming towards us. And the enemy wants to kill you because you become alive in Christ. In their stubbornness, in their unapproval of what Jesus has done, in their disbelief, this is exhibited in the most extreme form. And it happens to us. It happens to you. And you know what you say? I can't believe they did that to me. When the enemy uses somebody to do something to you, you have no idea about, you say, I don't understand why they did that to me. Go back a step. Were you not just blessed? It's a spiritual world. It's a spiritual battle that we fight. Were you not just blessed? Maybe your children were blessed. Maybe your husband. Listen, when somebody, the enemy is going after you, he's going after everybody around you, not just you. Amen? We get selfish with who the enemy wants, but he wants everything. Everything around you. Were you not just blessed? Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He says, when men hate Christ, they also hate those whom he has blessed and will go through any lengths in seeking to silence their testimony. When you're blessed, the enemy wants to silence your testimony. Not just outside, but inside. And I want you to know this morning that religious evil is the worst evil there can be. How blind were these men not to perceive that the person, Jesus Christ, who raised Lazarus, they could kill him again and again and again and again, and Jesus would raise him again and again and again and again and again and again. So when you trust in the Lord and the enemy tries to take your blessings, you might lose something, but Jesus will bless you again and again and again and again and again and again. So don't let nobody steal your joy. Jesus said, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. I want to know, when in the Bible have you ever heard Jesus call himself a man? This is the only time that Jesus calls himself a man. He says, how is it that you want to kill a man that just told the truth? Which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of Abraham, because they said Abraham's their father, the Jews. And whatever Abraham said, they would do. Whatever they believe Abraham decreed, they do. But Abraham was a man. Amen? He wasn't Jesus. So how can you, that's why Jesus broke it down to him just being a man. How could you take a man over here but not listen to this man? Why you want to kill this man when he tells you the truth? Abraham was a man. He told you the truth. You didn't want to kill him. But why this man? God knew their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. Then he turns around and he tells them, I'll tell you why you want to kill this man. You want to kill this man because ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar and the father of it. Nobody had the first lie, Satan. You can't have a second father. You can only have one father physically. Amen? Only one father physically. So the nature of a lie has one father, and that's Satan. Satan was the creator of lies. Amen? And Jesus turns around and says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, we know that people rather believe a lie than the truth. People like you to massage things instead of telling them directly to them. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody tell you, you know what? You don't look that bad, and then you go outside and people looking at you like you done lost your mind. I'm not lying. See, your friend tells you the truth. Amen? I'm trying to remember something right now, but somebody went outside. There was a lady, and please don't forgive me. I'm not misusing you. But she went outside thinking that she was really looking good, and she looked a mess. And somebody says, she needs a friend. She needs a friend. Because a friend will tell you, regardless of what, you need, girl, where you going? Men do it too. We tell each other, you need to check yourself. You going with me, you better check yourself. But that's a friend. That's a friend. They tell you need to check yourself. That's if your friend is truly your friend and don't want to lie to you. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. Amen? But your friend will tell you the truth. That's why the songwriter wrote, "What a friend." What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Because sometimes he will tell you what you need to know. He'll let you know it in no uncertain terms. He will use an angel to send, to speak through somebody. But he's going to let you know. He don't just tell you things just to so you can feel good. He'll tell you to let you know. I got a friend that he's my friend, and we've been friends for many years. Amen. But some of the things that he has been doing lately in the last few months, I had to just take a step back. Not that I don't love him. Amen. But he texted me the other day. And he said, you know, I had a dream about you that you were preaching to get out of myself. And I didn't write him back because that's the way I was feeling. You need to get out of yourself. You're supposed to be working for the Lord. So when I see your picture on Facebook, I don't need to see you hanging out and posing. I don't need to see all of this other stuff that's going on. I don't see nothing about the work. I don't see that. I see you flossing and glossing all over the place. I didn't have to tell him. The Spirit told him. The Spirit told him. Like when Pilate says, oh, they say that you said that you're king of the Jews. He said, you said it. I didn't say it. You said it. You see, if I would have said that to my friend, He would have thought that I'm mad at him or I'm jealous of him. I'm not jealous of nobody. But you're not doing the work that you were assigned to do. And when you're not doing the work that was assigned to you, God will let you know. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three in one. The scripture further says in John 12 and 11, because that by reason of him, many Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So many people were affected by this miracle. On account of him, many of the Jews went away. This made a problem for the chief priests. The raising of Lazarus from the dead drew people to Jesus. Therefore, in their opinion, Lazarus also has to be stopped. The enemy believes that Jesus has to be stopped. So when you are being blessed, you got to be stopped. When the Spirit is working in this church and people being blessed, the enemy believes that it has to be stopped. Amen? It is a diversion. It causes confusion. It says many went away and believed. That expression, were going and believing in Jesus, meaning they were increasingly believing in Jesus. Not in 2 days, not in a day, but right then and right there. When they saw Lazarus, they began to believe in Jesus Christ. When Thomas saw the hole in Jesus' hand, he believed that Jesus had been resurrected. The Bible says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Hallelujah. Who believe without seeing. Many of those people that were formerly opposed to Jesus were now beginning to believe. This is significant because it shows the impact that Jesus had. Amen? Not only on the regular people, but it affected their leaders. You know, sometimes we follow leaders, and if they go, we go. Amen? So, there was a problem for the leaders. Now listen to what Jesus says. In verse 42, he says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but, what did I say about that word but? Everything that came before but is just about neglected, eliminated, eradicated when but comes up. Amen? It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So many believed, but didn't confess because they were scared of getting put out. I said today's message is time to be put out. Nobody wants that problem to be exiled, alienated. We want our cake and eat it too. Nobody wants to feel lost and unwanted, like nobody cares for you. Everybody wants to feel loved and cared for. Exile is a form of suffering. We're not of this world. We're exiles. We're aliens. The Bible calls us aliens. We are aliens. We're separated. We're set apart. Hallelujah. An exile can't go home and cannot entirely settle away from home. Don't you know when you go through things in this world as an exile of Christ, for Christ, you can never get settled in this world. We're too settled in this world. Hallelujah. It's time to get put out. Our first separation from God came from Adam and Eve. But in this profound sense, this world is not our home. when we die and we're away from our bodies, we are at home with the Lord. We are not to be conformed of this age. Our lives are hid in the with Christ in God. Don't you know that our lives are supposed to be hid in Christ? And when you're hid in Christ, everybody can't see what you see. Everybody don't know what you know. They're not privy to that information. They're not privy to the blessings that you have. They're not privy to the goodness that awaits you. They're not privy to the reward that you're going to get. We have been transferred out of this dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. We're exiles and strangers here. As a matter of fact, as long as we're here on this earth, it doesn't mean that we don't care about what happens around us, but we will never be comfortable with the things that goes on in it. Amen? It doesn't mean that we don't use our influence. Our influence is being having joy unspeakable. Our influence is in praise that we give no matter what happens. Our influence means that no matter what happens, we have joy in whatever circumstance that we're in. We are exiles. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say something this morning. On the block that I live on in New York, I woke up, I guess it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I went to the bathroom, but when I got up, there was lights outside. You know those many colored lights, let you know things are going on. So I got up and I looked out the window, and I thought there were two police vehicles. It was parked across the street near my neighbor's house, and my neighbor has some serious illnesses, and I said, well, maybe something happened to Cal. So I went and put my clothes on, and I went down another floor, and I looked a little closer, and I saw it was only one police van, and the lights are going. So I went back upstairs, and as I'm going upstairs, I look out, and I see there were some other lights down the block going. You know I'm nosy. So I went out, put my clothes on. I went out to the street. And I looked, and the beginning of the block was closed off. And right in front of my house was closed off. And the lights were going. Come to find out, there was a woman shot in the head by her husband. Two teenagers, sons, one was her son, one was his son, asleep in another room. The police were there all day. And everybody who came down the block had to turn around and go back. They wouldn't even let people walk down this side of the block or the other side of the block. But there was a crowd there because there was some action there. And everybody wanted to know what was going on. And I said to myself, you never know the time or the place, or what is going to happen. I bless the Lord because my daughter is there, and a lot of times she's just by herself. And I didn't want her to have to go through that without my presence or my wife's presence being there. Amen? So that's why the Lord directed me, go home this week. Go home at this time. Go home after Bible study. There are times that the Lord will speak to you. Don't ignore him. He will speak to you. And if it's not a person that's going to speak to you, but there's that spirit inside of you that's going to speak to you, give you some marching orders, and you need to go. Because everything else can wait. Nothing else even matters. Everything else can wait. You got to say, Lord, is it you giving me these marching orders? My focus today is that there are times that we are going to have to leave, that we're going to have to get out. Amen? Just because you can't go with the crowd, you still got to get out. Amen? There might be some employment issues at a job. You better get out. There's some relationship problems going on that sometimes you got to get out. There's things going on with your children. If you can't get them out, you got to pray them out. You can't always physically be there, but spiritually, you can always be there. I know mothers have intuition, but nobody got intuition like God. And he don't need intuition because he knows everything from end to beginning. We don't want to get out, but God is telling you in this season that it's time to get out. Don't you know, when they put constraints on you, you can't put on the full armor of God. You know why? Because they got you in a box. And when they got you in a box, they got God in a box. And you're allowing it to happen. Sometimes you got to step away and get out. You got to move away and get out. Don't you know the God that you serve? You can't put limits on him. You can't. You can't put limits on him. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes God leads you to places that you don't even know where you're going, but he's exiling you from something that you have no business being involved with, something that you can't handle. He said, Abraham, leave everything, just go. And when I tell you to stop, you're there. Hallelujah. We don't always have to know where we're going. We got to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to be led by the Spirit. But you can't be led by the Spirit in a box. Hallelujah. In a box. We're trying to get this church out of the box. We can't do what we're mandated to do in this box. Oh, hallelujah. I'm tired of hearing the way we used to do things. That's a box. It's time to get out. Get out. We can't just be saved. We got to seek more. It's time to get out. I know it's comfortable being saved. Everything is nice. When love is new, it's nice. But after a while, things got to change a little bit because reality starts to set in. Oh, hallelujah. I remember when I first got married, everything was nice. Everything was nice. But then reality stepped in. I went to the supermarket. I got to pay for toilet paper. Reality set in. I want this to eat. You want that to eat. Reality set in. The Lord loves you. And he knows that you love him. But he wants a deeper love. Have you ever been in love with somebody and they say, you know, I want more. I need more than this. Christ needs more than just a surface love, a surface relationship. It's time to get out. If you're comfortable, you're too comfortable being comfortable. I got a God that likes us to be uncomfortable because when you're uncomfortable, he's able to use you. Don't you know? He's able to use you. When you're comfortable, you don't want to move. You don't want to do nothing. It's nice and warm and fuzzy in here. It's time to get out. We can't be like those Sadducees. We can't be like those chief priests who believed in God, but were scared to get out. This is not a church that you do nothing in. Come on, somebody. This is not a church that you do nothing in. This church is a full participation, 100%. Give it all to God. Oh, hallelujah. Give it to Christ. Give it to him. The more you give, he'll give you back. And you can't stop giving to God. You can't be God-given. And I'm not just talking about your tithes and your offering. I'm talking about you. If Christ can tell my friend, you got too much of you going on, some of us have too much of us going on. It's time to get out. You can't get a blessing without sacrifice. If he didn't do it, why do we think we can do it? Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. He could have stayed up there warm and fuzzy, but he made the ultimate sacrifice so that we might have eternal life. If you love where you are, you serve who you love. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters. It's time to get out. Get out of that rut, whatever it is that the devil's got you hold on to. Hallelujah. How should we live when we're in exile? Live faithfully by participating. Our first response to discomfort is always to remove ourselves from it. I don't like that. I'm gone. It's too much for me. A little aggravating to me. I don't know. I got to go. We get a little discomfort, then we're ready to run. Oh, hallelujah. This is why God commanded the Jews to stay put and participate actively where they were at. Oh, hallelujah. In the scripture, he said, stay here, multiply, get fat off of the land, eat, raise your children. Stop complaining about opportunities. Stop complaining about opportunities that you think that you lost. You know those opportunities that you think that you lost? Those are opportunities that will cause you to lose your salvation. Come on, somebody. Those opportunities will cause you to lose your salvation. When God wants to use you and grow you, I'm going to say this slowly. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it precisely. When God wants to use you, when God wants to grow you, you best believe there's a storm that's going to happen. When he wants to use you, when he wants to grow you, there's a storm. So in the midst of your storm, saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. I'm ready for the task. I'm participating. I'm not running away. So that means that when you go through a storm or you go through hardship, it's not wasted time. When I was in the service, I thought a lot of things were wasted time, but they was setting me up for the reality of things later on that could possibly happen. Amen? I didn't see it. Too immature to know it. But I'm saying to you spiritually today that in the midst of the storm and God is using you, That is your Job experience. He is using you and he is growing you for something greater. Your hardship is all can always be used as a redeeming factor by the Savior. As a redeeming factor for the Savior. Because if he do it for you, he'll do it for you. And if he did it for you, he'll do it for me. When somebody gets that C word and God brings them through, if he did it for you, he'll do it for me. Live faithfully by pursuing the Lord. That means that as things come up, live faithfully. Know that God has got everything in control. Paul in his prayer was to know Jesus in both his resurrection power and then suffer in the fellowship of everything that he went through. Didn't I say we like to have our cake and eat it too? That means that we want resurrection power when we go through things, but we don't want none of the suffering. We are going to go through some suffering in order to understand, be in the midst of resurrection power. Remember, resurrection power. When the scripture said exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's in us. The power that's in us is resurrection power. That's the power that rose Christ from the grave. That's the power that conquered death. That's the power that can conquer anything in life. Resurrection power. As Paul said, when we have that, we can learn the secret of contentment in any situation. Oh, hallelujah. We go through any situation, you name it, we go through it. Come on, saints, you name it, we go through it. Just because you got something and you're going through something nobody else has ever heard of, somebody else is going through it. Nobody goes through anything alone. There's nobody who only had that one thing happen to them. We might feel that way, but it's not true. Paul says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned that in whatever situation, I am content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. Abundance and need. I can do all things. Who does what? All things. That doesn't leave anything out. All things through Christ. As we live in exile, we live faithfully by submitting to the Father. Amen? Christ was faithful submitting to the Father. The scripture said, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. I say that because it's in the scripture. And in reality, I know it's hard. It's hard to submit faithfully to death. Even Jesus had a moment. I always say he had a moment where he didn't want to submit. But he asked. He asked if you could. He knows his Father could. He knows he can. But he just, the human's part said, if you could. Sometimes we're going to go through situations where we get out of that zone that we're in. And there's going to be some pain and some suffering and going through something. But know that God that God still has you. Amen. We submit to the will. We submit to the will of the Father. Always. Christ submitted his will to the Father. And because Christ submitted the will, his will to his Father, there is nothing. Can we say nothing? There's nothing that Christ asks his Father that he won't do. Because when he gave himself up, he got it all. When you give yourself up, God's going to give you all. When you give yourself up, he's going to give you all. When you give, I can't give you up. I can't. But when you give yourself up, he gives you all. And he's not giving me what he's giving you. If we are all different, made. Can you, this just hit me. We are all made in the image of God. Can we say amen? Amen? Look how many images God has. So therefore, when you give yourself up, because we're willful people, when you give yourself up, God will give you all. There is nothing that he would not hold from you. Lastly, we respond. We live faithfully by responding in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Responding in Christ. We respond in Christ when we say, Jesus, take the wheel. We don't respond when we say things like, I don't deserve to be in this pain. When we say things like, this just ain't fair. Those attitudes place obstacles in the way of helping others to see Jesus clearly. By seeking Jesus during the hard season and submitting to him in any way, even though we don't understand his ways, we live in such a radically different way than the world does. They know that something's different about you. Paul declared, we put no obstacles in anyone's way so they might find no fault with the ministry. When we put obstacles in the way, those people that you pray for, I'm going to make it plain. When we put those obstacles in the way, those people that you pray for, at home, on the job, in church, in your neighborhoods, we put obstacles in the way of your ministry to them. So when you go through something and you complain about what you're going through, that is giving the enemy a check mark that somebody can use against you. The biggest one is when they say to you, well, where is your God now? But if you say, I know that my God is a great God and he's going to see me through. Amen. You put a check mark in your ministry. And we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. Amen. I said we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. Do I have any overcomers in here today? Are we overcomers through Jesus Christ? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Overcomers through Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through is a little small thing in the realm of who he is. He's a big God, a powerful God. Nothing's bigger than him. Knowing Christ intimately in our lives, if we know Christ intimately in our lives, there is nothing apart from him and I and you and him that can exist that will kill you, steal from you, or destroy from you, because you know that God is in control. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.